Last week we spoke about Jesus, and Jesus himself spoke on one occasion, and he said, you know, men and women, I'm not going to be with you always. And since I'm not going to be with you always, it's very important that I do go, but as I go, I'm going to send somebody. So the disciples think to themselves, well, he's going to send somebody. That's good, another Jesus. But this is not what Jesus had in mind. Jesus said, man, I can only be with you at one place, at one time, and in one point in history. I am here now, maybe under this tree. Tomorrow I'll be in one of your homes. But it's just a one Jesus at a time. So it's very expedient that I go away, so that when I go, I will then send a comforter. And the comforter will be everywhere at the same time. So everybody will be equal in my sight. There is nobody who could say, well, so-and-so is closer to Jesus than I am. He lives next door. This guy lives right next door to the carpentry shop. Here I'm clear in the suburb of Jerusalem, and I can't get across town as much as my friend. Jesus said, I'm going to send a comforter so that he will be everywhere at one time, where you, upon your desire, your will, can say, I want to receive. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit this morning. Last week it was Jesus. Only way to heaven is through Jesus. One way, Jesus. And it is the cry of the church, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, how sweet the name of Jesus. But Jesus said, I'm going to send a third person. You Jewish people all, he would say, know about Yahweh God, meaning the Lord. In the Old Testament, the Lord was God. We, in retrospect, would say in the New Testament, Jesus was God, and he, of course, was. But now, in this day and time, there is a new manifestation of God, and it is a third person called the Holy Spirit. And we believe that the Bible teaches about God and about Jesus and about the Holy Spirit. We call it three in one. They are all equal, but they all have separate functions. Regarding the Holy Spirit, I have written down six words that I want to form our sermon around. Regarding the Holy Spirit, reviewing the Holy Spirit, reflecting the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit, renewing the Holy Spirit, and even refraining the Holy Spirit. It's not an in-depth study because it would take a series of sermons, but by using these six words, we can have guidelines, guideposts, if you please, to go through this aspect of this third person. Now, regarding the Holy Spirit, the definition. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. In the Old Testament, God used His Spirit. And His Spirit was not a distinct person as we know it today. Today we say there is God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a distinct person with certain attributes and with certain characteristics and with certain job descriptions. In the Old Testament, when we talk about the Spirit, we even say the Holy Spirit, it is not the third person as that one Jesus sent, being the Comforter. Instead, it was a manifestation of God. There were times when God chose to speak to men, and the Scripture says that His Spirit came upon those people. Mysterious, divine, energizing of God's Spirit came to various people. So there was no Holy Spirit in the Old Testament as we know it today. Today there is a revelation. In that day it was just a manifestation. In the Old Testament, I think the word manifestation would be good. In the New Testament and in our day, the word used would be a revelation. It would be a third distinct person. He's the creative power. That is God hovering over the water in the beginning, and it is at beginnings that His power is most manifest, and it is in beginnings that His power is most easily recognized. The creation of the world, the Exodus and the formation of God's people, the founding of the kingdoms, the prophecies of a Savior to come, the beginning of the church, the gospel to the Gentiles, looking forward to the greatest beginning, which is the end of our life and the second coming of Jesus, when the Spirit and the bride say, come. This Spirit of God has been made manifest to people in days gone by. In Genesis, a man, talking about Joseph, was endowed with the Spirit of God. We read about other places God filled people with his divine Spirit, or the Spirit came upon these people. In Proverbs 1:23, I will pour out my Spirit upon you. In Isaiah 44:3, I will pour out my Spirit upon the seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. So in the Old Testament days, there was a Spirit of God, but it's not the kind of a Spirit that we talk about today. We reflect upon this Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, people received Jesus, and they received then, if they so choose, then God's Spirit of blessing. We call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for power. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that Jesus said, I want to give to my people. Well, I don't understand all about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure that you don't understand all either. It's the same way with electricity. I don't understand electricity. I don't understand how this microphone works, the tape recorder, the PA to the nursery facilities. I don't understand all of these things, but I go ahead and I use all of these things for my personal use, and I'm able to take advantage, and you can use these things. So I don't understand what it's all implied by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but this I do know. Since I decided to take God at his word, my life has been changed by what we call this Spirit of God, because it is for personal power. I turned to the book of Galatians, and as I did this past week, I found a number of scriptures relating to the Spirit. In chapter 3, verse 2, it says, receive the Spirit. The Spirit is something that you can receive, and the law cannot get you into the Spirit of God. The law can't save you. The law can't impart perfection to you as you grow toward the perfection of Jesus, which you will attain when you die. The law cannot work and produce miracles, but the Spirit of God can. I turned to Galatians 4:29, and I read about being born after the Spirit. In Galatians 3:5, I read the words, ministering the Spirit. In 3:14, I read that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All of the blessings, including Spirit baptism, comes through redemption and comes through the atonement. Without Jesus' work on the cross, which is first, there can be nothing else to follow. This confirms without a doubt the fact of healing, for example. It's in the atonement as well as all the other phases of redemption. If all results are the curse to us are removed by the atonement, then this certainly includes healing, which is one of the major effects of the fall. When Adam fell, he set in motion mankind with their sinful nature, and so we all sin. And as a result of our sinning, we are in direct opposition to God. So the atonement has produced a healing for that sin. In like fashion, the atonement has produced a healing for all other areas of our life. Emotional healings, of which we all need. Physical healings. By his stripes we are healed. You turn to Isaiah 53:5 and 1 Peter 2:24 and Matthew 8:17. You'll see without a shadow of a doubt that the Word of God says that because of the atonement, we can lay hold to a claim that we can be healed. And Jesus died for it. By his stripes, what? We are healed. Not always the way we want it, but we are healed. As I renew about the Holy Spirit and the working in the church at Galatia and in the working of the church in King City, I see in Galatians 3:3 words like there are people who begin in the Spirit and who end in the flesh. I turn to Galatians 5 and I read verse 16. This I say, walk in the Spirit. In verse 18, be led by the Spirit. In chapter 6, verse 8, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I've seen so many lives changed by people who just took God's word at face value. Turn to Luke 11:13, our text for the morning, would you? Luke 11, verse 13. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I have seen the Holy Spirit come upon people in this congregation. I have seen it come upon people in other congregations. And every church in this city has had people identify with this Spirit baptism. What's so good about this Spirit baptism? Simply this. I want everything that Jesus wants me to have. And the Bible says that there is something past my initial point of salvation. And so I accepted that, and I found that it was true. Let me tell you what happened to one lady. She was reading a pamphlet that Nancy and I had written about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which set the pace for a book that she then read. And in the book it said, now this is what it's about. You can lay hold to God's claim. You can go deeper in your relationship to Jesus and find that there is some spiritual power that you can have that you don't now have. All you've got to do is just ask like you did for salvation and you can be given to you. And so in the paragraph of the book it said, put the book down and ask the Lord for it. So this person said, well, what have I got to lose? There's nobody around here. So she put the book down. She said, Lord, you saved my soul a long time ago. I'm now a Christian. I don't even know whether this is true or not, but what can I lose? Baptize me with your Holy Spirit because I want to be a better Christian, a more effective Christian. I want to be more powerful in my Christian life. I just want to be a better person, and this can be a way. And so the person said that prayer and looked around just as the person was when she finished, before she started. She said, well, I'll just continue reading. So she picked up the book. It was dog-eared and right to the same spot. The next paragraph said, now that you have received the Holy Spirit, you can go ahead and praise him in your heavenly language. And she said, okay, and so she did. But skeptical at first. What I'm saying to you this morning is, don't believe me. Just check it out for yourself. What can you lose? Just check it out for yourself. God has provided. Don't say, well, I just can't possess the land. If God told you, or if he tells me to take the land, I'm going to take the land. If he tells you to take something, take it. Even if you doubt, even if you don't believe, what can you lose? You can only gain through Jesus' power, sending this Holy Spirit to your life. Luke 11:13 again. If I can give good gifts to my children, how much better can God, my Heavenly Father, give a gift to me? And the gift being baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit today is something that is entering our churches in all denominations. And I tell people to stay in their churches if they've received this and let God use them. But above all, get closer and closer to God and stay in your own church. In Luke 3:16, we've always turned to John 3:16. Read Luke 3:16. And you'll find words like this. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but One mightier than I comes, the latches of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. On our bulletin cover, he'll baptize you. Now John said it. We've quoted John 3:16 for centuries, and it saved our souls, and praise the Lord for that. Now let's turn to Luke 3:16 and preach of this. And then let him come into your life. But there are those who refrain the Holy Spirit, many from ignorance, others doubting. And so when Pope John 23 wrote, "Renew in our own day your miracles as of a second Pentecost," he was seeing what is happening now. Pope Paul VI in 1972 wrote, "We have asked ourselves on several occasions, what are the greatest needs of the church? The church needs the Holy Spirit. It needs the Holy Spirit within us, in each of us, and in all of us, together, in us, the church." What a difference it takes. What a difference it makes when we just are filled with the Spirit of God. We're no holier, and we still continue to sin. But I have discovered a great peace. I have discovered something happening into my life that maybe no one noticed or sees. But inside I have settled once and for all the question that there is something more, and it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "I will not leave you alone, I'll send the Comforter." John said, "Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit." First, you let Jesus come into your life as Savior. Second, you let Jesus come into your life as Lord. And third, you let Jesus come into your life as Baptizer. And he'll do this. And I've seen evidence of God's Spirit moving more and more people to prayer. This is one of the results. You say, what are the advantages then? What is this? People are moved to prayer more than ever before. Secondly, people are moved to a love of the Scriptures. They just love God's Word. I've seen men take it to work with them. I've seen them read it on their lunch hours. I've seen men and women keep a copy of the New Testament in their car pocket, in their purse, taking time to read it instead of other material. And I have seen this happen to people. And they are the better because they have learned to appreciate more and more the Scriptures. And a greater appreciation and participation in the community of the church. Again, the baptism is for power. And it's for everybody in the world. Everybody in the world. There was a time when I didn't believe it was for me. I proved it. I found it was. So I stand to testify that it is for each one of you, every one of you on the right side of the sanctuary, and everybody of you on the left side of the sanctuary. And everybody behind you for miles and miles, and in front of you for miles and miles, and on your left and on your right. It's for anybody and everybody in the world who would just take God at his word and said, "Okay, Lord, I believe it. The Scripture says it, I believe it, and that settles it." But then don't say, "But is it really for me?" Because if you will turn to the book of Acts, and this is not a historical sermon of what happened in Acts, but may I mention this, in every instant, everybody received it. All received it. On the day of Pentecost, all received the baptism. In Cornelius' house, all received it. In Samaria, all. In Ephesus, all. People say it's just for some. If that was true, then the Scripture would say everybody in Cornelius' house received it except John Doe and so and so. But in every case, it says all, A-L-L. So that means all in the sound of my voice. All, young teenagers, young adults, old. It's for all. It's for all. Acts 19 tells us, the pastor came and said, "Did you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And the reply is, "Well,
didn't know there was a thing such as the Holy Spirit. What the Scripture says, we didn't even know. And so he expounded, and then they received the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit today is available. We've sung songs about it. We've read Scripture about it. And it's all yours just for the asking. And there are many of you who are interested, and there are others of you who are not interested. For you who are interested, then now is the time. And you know who you are. On Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we have an information meeting on the baptism. People can come to my office, and we just talk about it for a few minutes and answer your questions and give some course of direction for you. As pastor, I want you to be the best Christian you can possibly be. I want you to get all that you can from God so that you can build up your spiritual self. And we preach about Jesus. He is the only way. And I repeat it and underscore with the blackest of emphasis. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And if you're here this morning without Jesus, the Scripture says that you are perishing. Already. You didn't have to do anything bad. You just had to live. When you breathed that first breath of air, you were, according to the Scripture, doomed to an eternity in hell. And Jesus came, the Scripture says, so that we could find a way of escape. God protects the children. But my friend, when you get a little bit older, when you get that to that age of accountability, 7, 8, 9, 10, 13, young adults, and you don't give your heart to Jesus, you don't have to do anything wrong to be lost. You're lost already. John 3 explains this to us very clearly. But you do have to do something, and that's to accept Jesus. And it's just by faith. Right now where you're seated, you just can say, Jesus, I want you to come into my heart and save me. I do this sincerely, believing, and I thank you. And you are saved. You are born again. And then you start your spiritual pilgrimage on and on and on. Regarding the baptism, why stay camped at the foothills and be satisfied when there's just something greater for you personally? Again, for the asking, just ask. If you doubt me, why don't you just ask? And Jesus has, in spite of that, sometimes baptized people with his Spirit. But he will if you ask him sincerely, because he's promised. How about it? Are you a Christian? No better time than right now when people are praying for you. And if not, you contemplate the alternatives. And then as a Christian, you contemplate what God wants you to do now. I'm not asking for any show this morning regarding what I have spoken about in the message. I felt God leading me to present this and give this block of time for it, because there are people who are ready in the community church to enter into a new spiritual dimension. But you can make that decision in your own heart. You can go home and do it privately. You can talk to me after about it. Let's stand as we pray, may we? Our Father, we thank you that Jesus has come, sent by God to save us from our sins. And then we thank you that the Holy Spirit has come to renew into us, into our mind, conviction of sin, to comfort us as a comforter, to guide and lead us as a guider and as a leader. We're thankful for the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is part of the Trinity, thereby being equal to God and Jesus. It's just a different manifestation. We pray that as we sing this concluding hymn, that your Spirit would speak to our hearts and clear away the doubt and give the conviction of truth and righteousness. And Jesus said, I am truth. And Jesus said, I am righteousness. In his name we pray. Amen.